This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for joining me on this Monday afternoon. Time for a look at the week in Iceland. And it is a complete week because we didn't have a holiday today as we did last week. I think the last one of those before Christmas is Commerce Day, which is coming up in August. But here we are, all at work, present and correct on this Monday. My guest today, my colleague here at RÚV, is Oddur Þórðarson. Hello.
Hi.
Good to talk to you once again. It's been a while.
Yes,
it has. About 6 months.
Yeah. How do 6 months go by so quickly?
I don't know, because I thought you'd been on about 2 months ago.
Yes.
And then I checked back and it was 6 months.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So let's not try to do the 6 months in Iceland. We'll just do the week in Iceland.
Yes.
There's been enough over the last few days, hasn't there? The eighth eruption on the Reykjanes Peninsula is over.
Yes.
It's finished.
Finally declared. About a month ago when it started erupting, right? So it was about a month long, wasn't it? Which is pretty longer than some of the previous eruptions.
It's the second one in a row not to fizzle out after a few days or hours. So I have no idea what the pattern is now.
No clue. Whether this will continue, whether the next eruption, because granted there will be another eruption.
Yes.
Will it go on for a few days or perhaps a few months? Nobody knows.
Yeah. We had somebody commenting on the Facebook page earlier today at RÚV English saying that why do we declare these eruptions over when it will just start up again in a couple of weeks? Well, it won't be the same eruption is the point.
No, yeah.
And we're not dancing on the head of a pin there. If something else happens in 2 weeks, then that is counted as a different eruption.
Yeah.
Might be in the same area.
Yeah, and when, like, in a couple of hundred years' time, when we define this era of eruptions as just one big eruption, we won't be saying, oh, there was an eruption, and then another, and then a month later, there was a third one, and six, five, four, six, seven, eight eruptions. It would just be this one eruption era, essentially.
But right now, they are different.
Yes,
these are different eruptions.
Yeah.
And we are waiting for the next. I mean, the pattern, if there is one at all that we can tell anything about, I wouldn't bet against us sitting here in a month, say, discussing another eruption.
Yeah, or at least a possible eruption in the coming days or something.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Or possibly a magma flow without an eruption, because that happened. That happened on the night of Sungvakeppnin.
Oh, yeah, in fact.
And, of course, we were all set up to cover that. And then at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the magma started flowing.
Yes.
But it didn't punch through.
No, it didn't.
So that's a possibility.
Fortunately, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Because, I mean, I also wrote today that this is good news from Reykjanes that this thing is over for now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, we in the capital might be a bit tired of this. But if you have a property in Grindavík, for example, and you're wondering if you're ever going to get back to your town, you must be beyond sick of this.
Yeah, and it's worth noting, there's been a lot of discussion lately about the tourism industry and the volcano affecting the tourism industry, and it's just safe to say that this eruption doesn't pose any threat to residential areas near Grindavík, near the international airport. If there are any of your listeners considering coming to Iceland in the coming weeks and months, please do. It's a completely safe place to stay.
Well, I know that you, as I did, spoke to a lot of international media around the time of the eruptions, over the winter particularly, when they were especially dramatic. And I spent as much time as you did, I think, telling international media, it's fine. This is devastating for the people of Grindavík. But outside of that small corner of the southwest corner of Iceland, this is not having an effect on day-to-day life, as you say. It's not having an effect on flights. A lot of people are puzzled as to how that can be the case. But these are not ash eruptions.
No, and they're fairly small, not great in power. They're just relatively remote, even though they're close to the capital area. So they don't pose any threat to, or at least impending danger to any residential areas.
No.
Perfectly fine and safe to come to Iceland and visit.
The worst that will happen, assuming that you aren't staying in Grindavík, which isn't possible now anyway, the worst that will happen is that you won't be able to go to the Blue Lagoon because it might be closed that day.
Yes, and we have plenty of other lagoons to visit. So,
well, the one that seems to be the alternative to that, I'm not suggesting that it ought to be or ought not to be, but the Sky Lagoon in Kópavogur, in the capital area, seems to be where a lot of people go if the Blue Lagoon is closed.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, so as you say, no shortage of lagoons all the way around the country. Let's move from that to an issue which has picked up a lot of attention today. The Russian hackers suspected of an attack on Icelandic democracy, as one of the government ministers has described it. This concerns the company that publishes Morgenblad newspaper, MBL Punteris, and also the radio station, one of which is K100, K100. A big attack on the IT systems of this company yesterday, it seems.
Just a complete collapse of their computer systems yesterday. They just barely managed to get out of paper this morning, albeit a very thin paper. It was just a couple of pages long, I think. But a huge attack on the entire computer system of Árvakur, which is the publishing company that publishes the printed paper and the website and as you described. Russian hackers believed to be behind the attack, Russian criminal organizations. If I understand correctly, they took some data hostage. I don't know if you can phrase it like that.
I don't know, and we don't know yet whether or not there was a ransom for this, but I believe what hackers can do is that they can say, we've got your data, we'll give it back to you if you pay us or do something that we want. I don't know what the state of play is as far as that is concerned.
No.
It seems as if the company managed to get back online, as you say, with a skeleton newspaper at least.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. So they found a way around it to an extent,
I think. And probably sensitive data that has been stolen as well. I mean, data on their communications with their people that cover stories for them and their confidants, you know, and people in government, perhaps, and the salaries of staff members. And plenty of very sensitive information that's been stolen there, as one can imagine.
Minister of Culture and Trade, Lilja Dug Alfredsdottir, saying on her Facebook page that this is an attack on democracy in the country and the free exchange of opinions. Its purpose, she says, is to instill fear and silence the media. It's important that people are aware of this threat. I don't think that overstates it, really, does it?
No, I suppose not. I mean, when you say there's an attack on democracy, it kind of implies that you are a bit insecure about the status of democracy in your country, but still, it's not a pleasant thing to have happened. Surely a huge attack on one of the pillars of Icelandic journalism, but I think our democratic values will fare all right.
Yes, I mean, but saying that it's an attack on democracy doesn't mean that democracy will fall.
No,
it can still be an attempted attack.
That is true, that is true,
And Carl Blundell, who's the deputy editor of Morgenblad, says, he also says this is an attack on democracy. He says that Russian conspirators have been at work. They're aiming their weapons, especially at the countries that have supported Ukraine in its fight against Russian tyranny and invasion. So in that sense, the democratic point does hold up, because this is a country which has, Iceland is a country which has stood up to Russia, opposed the invasion of Ukraine, and there seems to be support for that within the country.
Yeah.
And that's the point that's being made there. So, and not the first time there's been a cyber attack during the Council of Europe, I think. The Althingi website and the Cabinet website went down.
Yeah. Only a few weeks back, the University of Reykjavik was attacked. It was quite a big attack, cyber attack. And I mean, it begs the question, how well prepared are we here at RÚV? How well prepared is the hospital, the foreign ministry, the Coast Guard, the bedrock of the state? How well prepared are we to face cyber attacks like this? And my colleagues at former colleagues at Morgenblad have my full sympathies, because this is a terrible situation to be in.
Yeah, and I hope that you and all of us, we've all done our don't click any suspicious email training, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah,
here in the building. Well, it's a serious point that these hackers, whoever they are, wherever they come from, can find all kinds of vulnerabilities and all sorts of ways to get into people's systems, can't they? Okay, a couple of stories that I want to pull together. Let's first talk about the Minister of Food and the motion of no confidence in her, which was defeated to no great surprise. She's the second consecutive food minister to face the threat of a motion of no confidence over the way that she dealt with the whaling issue. Her predecessor, Svandis, didn't in the end because she was unwell and took a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. But this is Bjarki Olsen Gunnarsdottir, who survived this motion of no confidence. Just remind us why she was in that position, because she seemed to annoy everyone with what she did.
Yeah, it was quite amazing what she did. She allowed whaling for the season this summer, the whaling season, but she did it in a manner that almost made this controversial practice impossible. Mm. So whaling was allowed, but the way she allowed whaling made it almost impossible to do it. So this angered people that support whaling and people that are opposed to whaling. So the parties in parliament that are on one hand opposed to whaling and on the other approve of whaling, they banded together to form this motion of no confidence against her, which she ultimately, as you said, defeated.
That was all the non-government parties.
Yes.
Together. Her own party, the Left Greens, they do oppose whaling.
Yes.
But they had to support her in this because she was one of their colleagues.
Yeah, and one former minister of Justice, Jón Gunnarsson, he decided not to take part in the vote, whereas all of his party members in the Independence Party, they voted against the motion of no confidence.
Because they're one of the government parties too.
And the funny thing is, Bjarki Olsen, the one being put on trial, she actually voted for him and supported him when he faced a vote of no confidence last year or maybe the year before. I don't know.
Yeah.
So she was a bit pissed, actually. She said, why didn't you support me when I supported you when you were in hot water?
That's not how it works, though, is it?
No.
It's not how politics works, at least.
No, definitely not.
And then, of course, there was a motion of no confidence in the whole government as well
recently,
which obviously they survived.
Yeah.
Because they had the numbers. Are we going to see more of this between now and whenever the election is, which I think at the latest can be next autumn?
Yes. Some people say that we will be having a general election this fall, this autumn, saying that the government is just hanging by a thread, as we see. There's talk of growing dissidence between ministers and different parties and that people don't agree on basic things.
Mm.
We might actually see a general election this fall, which should be very exciting for us.
And do you think it could just be any one of these issues then that could be the straw that breaks
I think the
back?
Left Greens are looking for a way out. That's what the thing you hear, seeping throughout Parliament is like these whispers of the Left Greens just looking for a way out. They know that they have no credit left, political credit, and they're just seeking a way to end the government.
But they're also polling at about 4%.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the party, we should say, of Katrín Jakobsdóttir, who was the prime minister, who quit to run for president, didn't win, but she was more popular than her party, certainly. Now she's gone, as I say, polling at about 3 or 4%. If there were an election tomorrow in those numbers, they wouldn't return any MPs.
No, yeah.
So do they just want to burn the whole thing down and start again?
I don't know.
As far as they're concerned?
There was one party member that quit the party yesterday, I think. Yesterday or the day before, I don't remember. But Lilja Rafney, Magnúsdóttir, I believe. She's been in the party for almost 2 decades, I think, or even 30 years or something. And she quit the party, which was kind of she may be the last, how do you phrase it? The last bird in the coal mine.
The canary in the coal mine.
Yeah, the canary in the coal mine.
The first canary in the coal mine.
She might be.
Yes.
Let's just wait and see.
Okay. Well, the latest that an election can happen is about 15 months away from now, next autumn, but it could be sooner than that. And the current opinion polls, as seems to happen in the middle of a term, showing that the Social Democrats are on about 27, 28, 29%, way ahead of all the other parties. That has not always held in elections,
has it, the support
that they have.
We remember it was a few years back, I believe, maybe in 2017, when the Pirate Party was polling at about 30% before the election, and they ended up with about 10%, I think.
Mm. Does that change during campaigns, then?
Just on election day, people... people that might vote for a party that are not used to voting, they all of a sudden think, well, I still have my house and my mortgage. I have my SUV. I have vacation with my kids every summer. I have a stable life. I have a stable income. Why jeopardize that? Why vote for something I'm not used to voting for and do something else? And come election day, they just, you know, decide otherwise.
So this means that opinion polling in Iceland as a method of predicting an election is pretty much always going to be useless.
Yeah, I guess.
Now, Bjarki faced that motion of no confidence over the whaling issue, as we've discussed. Not entirely unrelated, at least if you look at some of the comments on our Facebook page and some of the responses here at Roof English, is the issue of whether puffin meat should continue to be served in restaurants in Iceland. The number of puffins has decreased significantly on the coast of Iceland over the last 30 years because of overfishing, partly. The Environment Agency in Iceland is asking puffin hunters to exercise restraint. Now, I'd always thought, I mean, leaving aside the cuteness of the animals, I'd always thought that the one thing Iceland wasn't short of, apart from maybe rain, was puffins.
Mm.
But they do seem to be endangered, or at least their numbers seem to be nowhere near as strong as we thought.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why they're taking these measures of saying, please don't hunt puffins and eat them. I have to tell you, Darren, I haven't even seen a puffin. I've lived in Iceland all my life. I've never even seen one, yeah. They usually hang about the Westman Islands, I think, in the south. I've only been there twice.
They're not staggering around Tjörn downtown.
You don't see them, you know, down on the high street. You don't.
No. Well, see them in the puffin shops, I guess.
Sure, they're not on the high street. But not alive ones. No, definitely not. No. And I've never had one. Have you had one?
Eaten one?
Yeah.
I must confess, I think at a buffet many years ago, there was a sort of Icelandic tasting buffet, I think. And I can't even remember what it tasted like, so I can't say with certainty that I had it. But I will confess, if that's the right verb to use, to not being so shocked that I would have refused it.
Yeah, I see.
At that point. Mm. Now that I know the numbers are endangered, I might think twice.
Yeah. And it's very similar, as you say, because we, I was talking about the tourism industry earlier.
Yes.
We have whale watching, which brings in a lot of money. And then we have whaling as well. We hunt the animals we're paying to see as well. And it's similar with puffins, you know. We call them puffin stores in Iceland, these gift shops that are strewn around town. But we also hunt puffins. And it's kind of a paradox, I think. Why do we, you know, make money of allowing people to see one thing and then we hunt it.
Yes.
You know, it's weird.
I think that there was with whaling, it seemed like there must have been a crossover point where whale watching was increasing as an activity and the hunting of whales was decreasing.
Exactly, yeah.
And it didn't happen for a long time, of course.
Mm, no.
Now it's very, very much in favor of watching the whales. With puffins, though, maybe because people didn't think that they were endangered in the way that, you know, chickens aren't endangered or sheep aren't endangered, that they can still be, you know, icons to a certain extent. You might still get a toy sheep at a souvenir store, whatever it happens to be. It's not going to stop people eating the sheep. with puffins, maybe we're in the same sort of territory because people think that they aren't endangered. And I wonder if this announcement that they might be, it's going to change people's minds.
Yeah, it might, yeah. That's very true.
All right, let's turn to our final story. And again, a lot of activity around this. The drunk use of e-scooters has now been made illegal. Drink driving on electric scooters will now be based on the same limit as with other motor vehicles. So they'll be treated exactly the same. If you've had a drink, you can't get on one of these things.
Yeah.
And about time too.
Yeah, about time too, yeah. There have been quite a lot of accidents, some very serious, some less serious, involving e-scooters and drunk driving, which is, of course, terrible. These are readily available downtown, where most of Reykjavik's nightlife takes place. So people often think, wow, taxis are expensive. Why not just hop on an e-scooter and drive the 5 miles that I have to my home from here.
I have no sense of balance. So there is nothing that gets me on one of these. Nothing. Nothing.
I use them quite a lot, actually.
Do you?
Yeah. And I'll tell you a secret, Darren. I've even done it while under the influence. I'm not very proud to say, but I can confirm your vision is impaired and your sense of balance goes away, and well, lack of judgment as well, obviously. But I will never do it again. I will never do it again.
Because it's illegal? Or did you realize when you
both,
did it?
Both, I guess, yes. Yeah. Because I had a fall, I will tell you, actually. So so I will never do it again.
It's funny for me because I've actually not had an alcoholic drink since COVID.
Okay.
And it wasn't a deliberate choice. It's just that COVID happened. I used to, when I drank alcohol, I drank in pubs. Mm. When the pubs closed, obviously, that became impossible. I was never really one for drinking at home. When the pubs reopened, I realized I hadn't missed it very much. But what I also realized was that it finally gave me absolute freedom to drive wherever I wanted to any event and come home again without having to worry about a taxi. Now, most of the time, I'd already got to the stage where I thought, well, I'd rather go to the event and be able to drive home than go to the event and have a drink.
Yeah.
But it absolutely made clear for me that I was always able to take the car in that circumstance. So this is not going to affect me one jot because I don't drink anyway, and nothing is going to get me in one of these damn scooters.
But this will have a huge effect on a lot of people because a lot of people have been using them and while under the influence.
The other changes, which are interesting, the amended law, which was introduced on the last day or the second last day of the parliamentary session last weekend. There's a 13-year age limit now for the driving of these things. And those under 16 have to wear a helmet if they're doing so. So you can be 13 years of age and use one of these.
Yeah, and I think young kids and teenagers are the biggest group that are using these e-scooters. They obviously don't have driving licenses because they're too young still.
Yeah.
So they use this as a mode of transport instead. What I wonder is, if you are arrested for drunk driving on one of these, does that affect your driving license? Are you able to get, behind the wheel the next day? Which is what I wonder. And I didn't see it in the story. I didn't see an explanation for this. But is it the same thing? Because
The limits are the same, but is the punishment the same?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because if you get done for drunk driving, you obviously just can't go behind the wheel the next day.
Yeah.
But if you're taken for drunk driving on an e-scooter, can you still drive? I don't know.
And if you don't have a driving license, which of course you don't need to drive.
Exactly.
These,
yeah. Can you still get one?
Then what? Can you still get one? But if you don't have one and don't want one, then what's the punishment?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Is it a bigger fine?
Yeah.
If you don't have
a lot of questions to be answered, actually. I think we need to look better into this new law.
We shall dig into that. But of course, one way around this is just not to drive one of these devices when you're drunk in the first place.
Yes, well, yeah. That's rule number zero, I think.
That would fix our problem too. Then we wouldn't need to investigate any further.
Exactly, yeah.
All right, listen, we've covered a lot there, Odda. Should we not leave it 6 months again?
No, please.
The next
not.
Time we have this conversation, if we do that, it's going to be Christmas.
I'm actually going on summer vacation and then parental leave, so it actually might be 6 months.
It might be six months. Where are you headed to on holiday?
Just around the country, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Also Tenerife, which it seems to be every Icelander's
which
second
feels
home.
Like part of the country,
yes,
doesn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
I had to explain to friends when they were over here why the weather forecast here on Rúv, on Sjónvarp, on the television, has the weather in Iceland in some detail, and then it scans around Europe, and then it zooms in on the Canary Islands.
Yes, yes. And you see, multiple weather stations dotted around the Canary Islands, where you see just Madrid and Barcelona when you get
exactly,
to Spain. So,
exactly.
Yes, we really are, really in tune with what the weather is like in Tenerife.
I've never been.
Never been?
No.
I haven't been for like 15 years, so I'm quite excited to go there again.
I think it's, again, this is a fascinating thing if you're outside of Iceland, but there are like 3 flights a day, I think, with different airlines. The time zone's the same.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's also a volcanic island or set of islands, so maybe there's something about that is attractive to Icelanders. Yeah. For me, it's just too hot.
Yeah, and you don't get sort of the mainland inner city heat that you get in, say, Barcelona or Rome. You get the sea breeze coming in, so it's very similar to Iceland in that way. Yeah.
Just go to Ísafjörður there, then.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true, yeah. In the summer, it gets quite hot in Ísafjörður. Sure.
Yes, well, we're actually, we are this year for the first time. I say for the first time, we've only been here for a couple of years, but having travelled around Iceland lost a lot in the past, it's the first time that we will have lived here and holidayed in Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
So that's happening this year for us. We're going to head up to the Westfjords, indeed, and travel around much of that part of the country. Looking forward to that very much, indeed. You're also going to be holidaying in Iceland.
Yes, I will, yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, have a fantastic time.
Thank you. Likewise.
We'll talk again soon. Thank you for that. My colleague here at Roof today, Odd Thorthason, on Roof English Radio. And, of course, you can get in touch with us anytime by email. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from Roof English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Roof English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Roof.